Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hello, Weirdsville. How you guys doing? Thank you for tuning in or downloading or whatever it is that you are listening to us on here. This is the What's Your Weird Story podcast, your weekly podcast for the weird, the unusual, the funny, the bizarre, everything that is in the box, true life experiences of our friends and our new friends and people that you will all become friends with over the next 45 minutes to an hour, 2 hour long the episode is. I am one of your hosts. I'm Adam Beebe. I am the one who rambles on. I'm probably known for that now. With me, as always, is your other host, Barry Johnston.
You're the weird one. You're the weird one of the bunch.
That's true. I am the weird one.
I'm more normal. At least I like to think so. And that's just the way it is. You're weird, and I ride your coattails. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, here's the thing. It's, you know, everybody's weird. You know, everybody's got a level of weirdness to them. That's part of the human experience. It's just that mine is a little bit closer to the surface. You know, I am definitely more tamed down and less weird than I was in high school, and even in some early college, you know, yeah. My teens. Oh, yeah. That's when it really, I mean, I was a weird kid, but not scary weird. The weird creative.
Yeah, yeah.
Artsy type.
Yeah, you need to meet my Aunt Cindy.
But in ours,
she is a weirdo. Well, she is a weirdo, man. I've got a few of them in my family. You haven't seen weird yet.
Yeah.
But yeah. She's eccentric is what we like to call it in my family.
Yeah. That's
the nice way to say
it.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. We're all weird. What are you going to do? You know? You need to be weird.
Exactly. Obviously. You know? Yeah. It's fun. It's man, weird is one of those great spices of life, you know?
Yeah.
It's that beyond just the 11 herbs and spices that you get at the Colonel's. Yeah. It's beyond. It's a whole other thing. It's that I don't know what it is, but I like it spice.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yes. And sometimes you need to explore that. You need to explore those different avenues, you know, just kind of see what it's all about and test yourself a little bit. And it's great. And I think that's one of the things about our friendship is that willingness and openness to getting weird, talking about weird stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And that's part of what draws people like us together.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and sometimes the weird just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just step into it.
Yeah. Quite often.
And you just, you know, and those are the best times, you know. Yeah. Those are the good times. Those are when, you know, when weird shit happens and all you can do is to sit back and enjoy the ride as best you can.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Which brings me to today's guest. She's living it. Quite literally.
Big time.
Right now, as we
speak. Big time. In real time. In real time.
In real time. In real time. So, today's guest is my friend, Ori, and she is there in Southern California, and she has just recently moved into her grandparents' home. But she's had a lot of connections with the house. She was actually born there and her mom was born there. So they've had this house in their family for quite a long time. And she just recently with her little boy, moved and, weird things, weird things started happening. And so without further ado, let's get into it, and you'll enjoy. And this is, you know, this is one of our, this is fun because it's like we said, this is real time weird developing story. So Ori, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
So as you said, I'm living in this home. I recently moved in. I'm outside right now because I don't know, I kind of feel like I need to tell this story like not inside the walls of the home. I don't know. Anyway, like, I, it feels a little maybe sacrilegious or something. I don't know what the right terminology would be, but I feel like I'm doing my grandmother a disservice. Anyway, so hopefully she will find the humor in this and love me regardless, which I know she will. So I recently moved into this new home. It was my grandparents' home. They purchased it in 1960. So after my grandmother passed in 2013, the home went to my aunts. There was like a little bit of family drama around that, but you know, how families.
Yeah.
So, my aunts are funny ladies. for example, they spent a good bit of time last night putting small pillows behind all the doors in the house. I didn't inquire as to why. I could only guess, maybe to protect the walls or something. And it's just strange, and it doesn't really work for my lifestyle. I'm gonna move the pillows.
I woke up to a text this morning that was would have been very late night, saying that my aunts put pillows behind all the doors.
That is bizarre.
Yeah.
That is bizarre. So,
my response was, your family has strange customs.
We do. We have very, very strange customs. We're very into them. So that was my life last night. Anyways, so I've always joked at the woman in my family that they're witches, kind of. My mom calls 3 a.m. the witching hour. It seems to be a time frame when a lot of strange things happen, for sure. Mm-hmm. When my grandmother was on her deathbed, she would wake up and yell, like, creepy. Just yell every morning around 3 a.m. and throw all her limbs, like, stiffly into the air, just straight up, and just laying on her back with all four. It's just so, like, omen-istic. Wow. So my grandmother, she had kidney failure. So a few weeks before Halloween, she was taken off of dialysis. We got a big scare. She had like a stroke and ended up in the hospital, and we thought she was going to die, but she ended up not passing away and came back and was speaking to us and coherent. And so we kind of, you know, saw it as like this odd blessing that we got to have this time period with her, these like 2 weeks where she was off of dialysis and everyone could, you know, come from out of town if they needed to, whatever, they had time. Mm-hmm. But we knew that it was a very short time to live. So for Halloween, my aunts kind of, you know, joked around about making like a haunted house of sorts and allowing like the kids to come in and see like the dying woman. So they vetoed. Thankfully, they vetoed that idea. I mean, part of me still kind of thinks that it would have been a kind of a cool idea, but also that it's pretty morbid and, you know, a lot was going on. So
Would your grandma have gone along with that? Would she have been fine with that?
She probably would have. My grandmother loved holidays. She loved Halloween. She loved children. She loved seeing all the costumes that they would wear. So I honestly do feel that she would have enjoyed this. But I do also think that it would have probably made a lot of us question. Yeah. So my grandmother, she passed away the morning after Halloween, a bit after 3 a.m., the witching hour on All Saints Day, or in Mexico on Dia de los Muertos. Before she died, she was joking to us that we should call her cousin, that she was going to take him with her. And he passed away that same afternoon.
Whoa. Whoa. It was
pretty odd, yeah.
Wow.
So...
What, had he been sick? Had he been ill?
He was. No, I mean, we knew that he was, you know, he was going to die any day, but we didn't know he was going to die on that day.
Yeah, right. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's just so uncannily bizarre, you know?
I mean, my grandmother was a thing. I mean, she was such a wonderful, loving woman. People literally in her life called her Santa Margarita. And yeah, so I really do feel like she had a very spiritual connection to people. And I, you know, she might, we say she was joking, but I don't know that she was joking. I think she might have actually been serious. she knew he was. Yeah. Wow. So yeah, so this is the legacy I'm coming into. So as I mentioned, I recently moved in, like recently, just this past month. It has just, the end of this month will be, you know, my first month here. This home, as I said before, it's been in our family since the 1960s. I was actually born in this home, in this room right behind me.
Wow.
Right here. Yeah. in this back bedroom.
Wow.
Both my grandmother and my grandfather first, they both passed away in this home, in the downstairs room. So it's been almost 6 years now since my grandmother passed away, and the home looks virtually the same as when I was a child.
Wow.
Yeah. There is still writing on the ceiling downstairs from when she was on her deathbed. They wrote, you know, stars and mom's like anagram style poem. Yeah. And my aunt lived in that room for several years with the writing.
Wow.
I don't know how she did it. Mm-hmm. She's that one aunt, you know, that every family has. I love the story of her life. I really do. She's so fascinating. Anyway, I digress. So this house still has the exact same like old RCA TV that I used to watch when I was young, and I'm pretty sure my aunts and uncles also watch, and it's still fully functional. It is what my son is watching, his old VHS of Robin Hood on right now.
Wow.
So it was pretty strange. It has the exact same old green shag carpet. It's no longer shaggy. It is just green.
We all know those. Anybody that grew up pre-digital age,
yeah. That beautiful carpet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's marvelous, and I'm pretty sure my allergies are getting pretty bad. and the house is still filled with antiques. I wish I could show you guys, but then I'd have to go in there. And anyway, so I spent 2 weeks. They have this old, this beautiful old cabinet, but it's huge and it has glass doors, and it was filled to the brim with antiques. And I spent 2 weeks before I moved in, cataloging everything, labeling, taking pictures, boxing everything up. A lot of these things are from the 1800s. There's a lot of like silver and precious stones and crazy carved knives. And I mean, there's a samurai sword. It's like a legitimate real samurai sword.
Hey, I might be interested in that.
Well, you know, I'm going to be setting an eBay account soon.
That's awesome.
Do you have anybody who served in the Pacific during World War II? I wonder if that's the origin of the samurai sword.
Actually, what it is during the 1800s, my grandmother's uncle, her uncle, yes, he worked, I believe, as like an engineer for the docks in Hong Kong.
Wow.
So he did a lot of traveling in that area and obviously visited, you know, lots of China and as well as Japan and I'm sure some other, you know, islands or areas around there. But so he brought it back. I mean, there's like beautiful gongs. I have this silk painting hanging in the living room. That's definitely from that era.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's pretty wild. I mean, she's preserved everything very nicely. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty significant. But yeah, that's the story of that, is that he worked on the docks. Cool. Yeah. So I spend a lot of time. Some of them are still, a lot of them are still out, but I boxed up everything that was in the cabinet because we had one of their old tenants, they had one of the rooms rented out, and she had brought bed bugs into the home. So before I moved in, they had them treat for bed bugs. So I had to move this massive cabinet. So of course I was like, well, I'm already having to move it, and I already have to take everything down. So I don't want all this stuff here necessarily. So I'm going to take photos so I can send it to family, and I'm going to put everything away. So I boxed them all up and I put them in the back bedroom, the room that I was born in the back closet. So the brackets that keep that closet door shut are broken. And so I put a vacuum in front of the door to keep it closed. And this is a fairly large, spread out home. It's a 4-bedroom home. It has 3 bedrooms on this side and 1 bedroom across the kitchen and living room and everything. That's like the master bedroom. And you have to walk down this long hallway to get to this back bedroom. So I was like, this is perfect. I'm making this my little sanctuary from my 2-year-old's grubby, dirty, curious hands. Yeah. And I'm going to put all my special, precious things in there. This is my space, my room. I'm shutting this door and that's that. So I keep the door closed so he doesn't feel compelled to go inside. And on more than one occasion, I have entered this back room, this closed back room, and found that the closet door is open. The vacuum has been scooted over, but I put the wheels parallel to the closet door so that, you know, it's not like it got rolled or, you know, there's no like tilt to the house right there. I mean, there might be a tilt to the house, but I highly doubt that that's why the vacuum moved. And it's not moved like very significant. It's like 5 inches or so, but it's open just enough to make me feel uneasy. Mm-hmm. Wow. So I come in and I'm like, okay, grandma, I'm here, it's safe, it's okay. And I shut the door and I put the vacuum back. But on more than one occasion that this happened, and I've chalked it up to, well, maybe my son went into the room, you know, maybe this, maybe that. But like it's become so frequent now that I can't just like ignore it anymore. So that's wow. The story of the vacuum.
If it was something where, you know, the house was not level per se, that it would move a vacuum. I mean, that would seem on carpet.
Right. That would
seem that you would notice that.
Yeah. Right. You know? But it's moving to the side the way that the wheels don't go. Hi, right. Baby. Hi. Go see Tia. You want to say hi? Okay.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
How are you? How's Robin Hood?
All right.
He's like, okay.
I'm gonna get
him. Okay.
Yeah.
Come on, baby. Let's go. Oh, I know. We're not crying, though.
And the girl. The babysitter girl, she picked up the phone and there was a policeman on the other side and he said, we've tracked the phone call and it's coming from inside the house!
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
I love those urban legend stories.
Dude, I do too. And you remember the one where the girl, it's always the babysitter or it's the kids making out in Lover's Lane, but there's the one where the girl comes up and she finds the kids are watching TV and she turns them around and their face has SpaghettiOs.
Oh, man. Or the hook guy. Remember the hook guy? Oh,
the hook was hanging from the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
So if you got a story that is similar to any of those awesome urban legends, we want to hear it. Because, you know, those urban legends, man, they started off as somebody's true life weird story. It's got to be true somewhere. I was telling Barry that basically your entire family has all these amazing stories that are just crazy adventures and stuff and fascinating.
Cool. Yeah.
Which you probably, again, because they're your family, you know it all. It's just normal and boring to you. But
yeah. But, you know, I do recognize that they had some wild times in their lives. They've got some fun stories, make for some good books.
That's cool.
Oh, he's having a conniption. Okay, so where was I? What did I say?
We were talking about how the... the vacuum, you're saying the vacuum, it moves where, and it's not like it's just rolls or push because it's where it cannot, the wheels wouldn't normally just allow it to move. Mm-hmm. It's been shifted.
And it doesn't move forward or backwards. It's definitely not moving on the trajectory of the wheels. It's moving, you know, something with force had to scoot it open. Which is honestly the part that makes me the most a little irked about this, is that I'm like, okay, so now there's force involved.
Right.
But,
yeah. Yeah. But you've had, there's been a lot of activity there. There's been a lot of life activity.
For sure.
Deaths and births and the full circle there.
Portals opened in this home multiple times. Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
So downstairs, which is where they passed away, because they did not pass, they didn't spend their last moments in this back bedroom. That was actually the bedroom I was born in. So downstairs is where the laundry room is. And that's the room, not the laundry room itself, but you know, the master bedroom, which is adjacent to it, is where they both had their deathbeds. And also on more than one occasion, and I know that I've locked up the house because I've had a home invasion, so I'm very particular about locking my doors at night before I go to bed, and I am, you know, I'm a stickler for that.
That's also another very interesting story.
Yes, it is. But anyway, so this back room, more than one occasion, door's been just hanging wide open. And that's honestly, the downstairs, I did not make that my master bedroom. I made that my study, and I'm making it, I'm putting all my books in there and my music stuff in there. It's got a fireplace in there. It was so full of stuff when I first moved in that you couldn't even see the fireplace, but now you can see the fireplace. Yeah, but that room definitely creeps me out. And on more than one occasion, I've come in and I've just been like, hey, like, I miss you guys. I miss you guys so fucking much. I love you guys. Like, please, you're scaring me.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And then it just kind of feels like everything, like, calms down a little bit. And I'm like, okay, like, good. Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
So sometimes in the morning, now I've been waking up pretty early to go and work out in the mornings. And I come out and everything, it's still dark out. And that's the part that kind of bothers me the most. And a lot of the like kitchen cabinets will be open, and like I know a lot of the locks are not like the best and stuff like that, but it's just so weird that I'm waking up in the morning and it's just open like that, when there's not like a whole lot of activity, you know, going on in the house, so, or at least that I'm aware of. So, and it is kind of funny to me, like I have to chuckle about that one because my grandmother was not a good chef, but every time I come in there, I feel like she's like checking in to make sure that I'm eating properly or something. And I'm like, Grandma, I got this. I promise you, I'm not eating what you would cook me. Maybe not like macaroni and hot dogs, but I am eating. So it's all good.
Wow.
She did her best. She did her best.
But before she was gone also, there were things that would happen at the house also?
Before my grandmother passed away?
Yes.
Or
not as much?
Not that I noticed. There were strange things that would happen after my grandfather passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, we would describe moments of smelling, like, the seawater, because he loved to go sailing.
Right.
And so we would smell the seawater, but we are pretty far from the ocean. I mean, I know I live in San Diego, but this house is actually like in the city next to San Diego, more east.
Okay.
So, we don't smell the ocean here.
Right.
But sometimes we would smell roses or something like that. And it was so subtle that nobody would say anything. And then you would get this gust of like seawater smell taste. Wow. And so it was like, okay, like we hear you, Papa.
Wow.
Like, we
know you're here.
So I do, and I definitely have felt, you know, his presence throughout the years, but never in like, you know, obviously not in a creepy way, but I live here now. And now, so like, you know, when my son is asleep and I'm in the house virtually alone because the only other living human can barely speak, it's creepy. Like I definitely get spooked and I have to like shut some of the doors and hope that I don't have to, you know, forget something down there that I have to go get. But honestly, and this is really silly and super crass of me, so I do apologize. But the hardest part, honestly, is feeling like they're watching me all the time. And I like that for some of it because it's like, oh, you know, they're comforting, like they've got my back. But like at the same time, I can't masturbate.
Right. Right. Of course. Yeah, there's certain times you don't need that. Yeah.
Right now.
You don't need grandmother's eye everywhere you go. That's for sure.
Maybe that's why everything's getting, you know, why there's such a disturbance is that she's not approving there.
Exactly.
No! Oh, no!
No, I think that really,
Worse, I think the damage is done.
I think that if she was really disapproving, then, you know, you would have plates flying around and you're classic poltergeist type stuff happening.
Because we know now she can use force.
Right, exactly. So she's just saying, I think with the vacuum, she's just saying, you know, just make sure everything's clean. You know, she just keep it all tidy. That's a grandma thing. So
super grandma.
That's funny.
Don't just throw that in there like a sack of potatoes. Take care of my stuff.
Wow.
So that's my weird story.
Wow, man.
And I get to live it.
That is, you live in a very rich environment for anything to happen. So, I mean, I've never really seen anything like that. Been privy to any of that. And so I think a lot of people out there are the same way. It's like, they like to hear the stories, but they've never really had anything like that happen to them. So it's interesting, you know?
It's definitely something that I brushed off for honestly a while until Adam asked me to share my weird story, if I had any weird Halloween stories. And then I was like, you know, this is kind of odd. Yeah. And then it dawned on me that, you know, I'd already been having like really spooky feelings in the house, but I had forgotten about the connection with Halloween and how it all like kind of tied together the spookiest day of the year, right. You know?
Yeah. And plus that she had such a connection to the witching hour, you know, that, I mean, that creeps me out a little bit. It really does.
Oh. And also called her cousin along.
Yeah.
You're coming with me.
Wow.
But you know, it's a lot of that, what you describe is definitely what we hear about. You know, we hear that, you know, you hear about doors opening and cabinets opening and stuff. And we've had a couple people talk about the smells, you know, that they've had, especially a familiar smell. Like my friend Jeremy was on a few months back, and he was talking about how he was just talking with his wife about just life and everything. And they were just kind of, you know, talking about figuring out some stuff. And he caught the whiff of menthol cigarettes and wheat dust. And that's something that he always associated with his grandfather, because his grandfather was a farmer and he smoked menthol cigarettes. And so he knew that that's kind of what it was. And, you know, his wife didn't smell it, but he commented about it. And, you know, and so he knew he felt a bit of comfort from that. So, you know, that salty air, that seawater air that you described totally makes sense. That would be your grandpa just saying, hey, what's up? Checking in from the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
I do love this home, but it is very heavy. Very heavy.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Bear.
No, I was just going to say, in California, you're lucky to have a home, from what I understand.
Yeah.
That's true as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've been a bit of a nomad, so you've landed. I think you've landed at a good place, though. I think that's going to be good for you.
I have. It's you know, it's a heavy cross to bear, but you know, I'm grateful for it, and I'm literally 6 or 10 houses away from my mother. So great, yeah. For having a 2-year-old, I mean, she's going to watch him tonight, so I can go out and a nice dinner. So
great,
it's great. Cool.
Can always, you know, if you feel the need, you can always just go in there. I'm sure somebody's got some sage, and you can smudge it. So.
I haven't lit the sage yet. Mostly because I don't know that I want them to leave.
Right.
Yeah.
I want them to leave, and so that's kind of, I'm just like, I don't need to get you guys out of here. I just calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
gonna be okay. I know I'm making a ton of changes, and it's for the better. Just love me, please. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
It was very, very stagnant. So we're going to breathe some life into this.
Good. Yeah. Good. That's what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you have any other things that you'd maybe thought of? Otherwise.
That was the only one I took the time to really think out. I have so many stories, as you know.
Oh yeah.
That was the one, the specific Halloween Sorry, I don't really have any like other scary stories like that, but it's spooky and ghost stories. Like this is my first experience with it, kind of. I mean, that's not true. I've had several like ghosts in my life, but this is the most personal, I guess, that it's ever gotten, and the most consistent. Every other time has been very sporadic, here and there, you know, whatever. Like living in LA and the gas company lost, like there's definitely a ghost who would turn on the lights in the bathroom and stuff, and so that was kind of funny, but it never was really scary. But this one is the first time that I felt genuinely like spooked, like hair raising, like there's something here with me. This is not so fun. Right. Yeah. And my best friend, thanks to me telling her that I was going to tell you guys this story, is no longer coming to my home. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. That's funny.
Appreciate that. Yeah, that's it.
Well, we appreciate you sharing that story, and that's really cool. And I think you've got good things there. I think they're just kind of like letting you know that they're there.
Definitely.
And
yeah.
So I'm curious about the writing on the ceiling.
Oh yes, it says mom, and then underneath it, I don't really remember what it says, like, I don't remember what the poem is. I'd have to go and look at it, which is funny because I've gone down there several times, and every time I look at it, like, why are you still here? But I have to be the one to wash it off, and that just feels like that feels heavy. Moonshine, yeah. That's enough. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'm glad that you acknowledged that was your dog, because I started hearing something and I was like, I don't want to interrupt. I didn't want to say anything.
Oh no, what is that? No, that was my dog. Not the monster in my home.
Hey Barry,
yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat sucker?
What?
Goat sucker, chupacabra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those?
I haven't seen one personally, but I've heard about them.
Yeah, me too. If anybody's got a goat sucking story, wait, if you got a goat sucker story, we want to hear it. If you got a Bigfoot story, we want to hear it. If you got a Loch Ness Monster story, or a Lake Champlain story, or Ogopogo story, or an Oingo Boingo story, wait, that was an 80s band. Anyway, you got a weird cryptid story, we want to hear it.
I didn't even know what a cryptid was, man.
Yeah, dude, cryptids. They're like the animals that haven't been necessarily proven by science. They're the ones on the edge, you know. They're not necessarily known animals, but they're known animals. We don't have the bodies or anything like that. So they're kind of like half myth, half story, based in reality, but still in that weird mystery area that we don't know about yet. Cryptids are fun.
Okay, so we wanted to take a break here, and there's been some developing news, and this is one of the coolest things that has happened to us so far. And yep. You told me, you're like, dude, she texted me and there's weird stuff happening. Like as soon as we hung up with her, there's weird stuff.
Immediately after our conversation that you guys just heard, immediately, maybe 5 minutes immediately, I get a text, and it's, you know, more weird stuff has happened.
How crazy.
And so, yeah. So normally that would have been the end of the episode that you guys just heard. That was the end of the first part, but no, something weird had happened. And then I said, okay, well, we want to hear it, you know, and you know, call the hotline, you know, let us know. We'll add that on.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. It's cool. Cause I didn't want to hear about it then, you know? But then, a couple of days later, I get another text, all caps. So much weird shit has happened since we last talked.
Yeah, so we were like, dude, we got to get her on. We got to get her back on.
I was like, yeah. And then she sends me like screenshots of like five typed out pages of just stuff that happened. I'm like, I'm not reading this. You're coming back on.
Yeah.
And so. week later, we got her on, and man, so much has happened. So, yeah, it's fantastic. This is real time kind of stuff, and as it develops even more, we'll have Ori back because she's such a great and fun guest. So the weird story continues, and so you know, I guess we'll just say it again, Ori. What's your continuing weird story?
So immediately after getting off the call with you guys last time, you know, I went into the house to go and check on my son because I hadn't been out there or in there for a minute. So my sister and my son were watching TV, and the window behind the TV was open, like all the way down. And it, you know, it's the top bottom, so the top was open, which was kind of weird. And so I asked my sister if she had opened it, and because, like, the curtain, so there's two curtains, you know, there's, like, the light, like, sheer curtain that's behind the darkened curtain. Anyway, so this light sheer curtain is, like, flying, and, like, it's flapping in the wind. And it was, like, not that windy. I mean, it was, I guess it was kind of breezy, but, like, it didn't, I don't know, it was just kind of weird. So she was, like, no, I didn't open it. So I went to close it. And as I'm going in front of the TV, like, cuts out and goes to like the black screen. So my sister yells at me. She's like, she doesn't want you to shut it. So I like look at her and I'm like, what? Why? What do you mean? And she's like, because the TV. Like, and so I, you know, I try to walk in front of the TV a couple more times to like see if I can like replicate it. You know, and I couldn't replicate it. So I just kind of was like, well, you know, maybe my aunt had been over the day before, and I felt like she had kind of opened more windows in the house, and I wouldn't be surprised if she had. And then I, you know, and I asked her, and she's like, oh, yeah, I did open windows, but she couldn't recall if she had, like, specifically opened that one or not. Anyways, it was just really strange. It was weird billowing. Anyway, it was a bit...
Even if she did open the window, that doesn't explain the TV.
Right, it doesn't. And like I like rewinded the tape and like, made it play and it just played through fine. But I don't know, it was strange. And like I felt a little guilty because I'd like stress smoked right afterwards, and and so I was like, and I hadn't like closed the wooden door when I did that, and so I was kind of feeling like, oh, like my grandma's upset that I like got smoke in her, you know, in her living room with her precious bundle of my son in there. Anyways, it was just silly. But, okay, so I told my mom about it that evening about talking on a podcast and told her my story because I hadn't really, I spoke to my sister about it, my best friend, but I hadn't told my mom. And so she was pretty dubious. She was kind of like, oh, whatever, you know, like, yeah, it's probably just explainable things, which is totally, you know, understandable. She didn't experience any of it. So she texts me the next day and she asks if she and one of my other aunts, can come by. And this aunt had, so all of the aunts inherited the house. There's four sisters, including my mother. And so this one had decided she had opted out. And so she got bought out of the house. So she doesn't come by nearly as often as the other aunts do, just because she's not the owner and she's not, you know, taking care of the upkeep and such. So she wants to hear about my experience. So she comes by and, we go to sit out on the patio and I explain some of what's going on. I basically just tell her the same story, you know, the same thing. Mm. So, and then I, you know, including the billowing and the,
right.
Yeah. The like what had happened up till that point. So after I finish, she looks at me and she has no skepticalness on her face, which was really nice in contrast with my mother, who was also sitting next to us. And she goes, well, yeah, they're here. She's like, I don't know, you know, she kind of like prefaced it with some like little like disclaimer and she was like, I don't know everything kind of a thing, but you know, they're here. And, she's like, she's like, Margaret, she's loud and she's busy and she's all over town and she's not just here, and, you know, she comes and goes as she pleases. She goes where she wants basically. And she's busy doing stuff. Like she's working, which sounds so much like my grandmother did not rest. She just was a firecracker. And, you know, for a long time, she had this photo that came with a card. One of my cousins had given it to her. And yeah, we all agreed. And it was just like, this is the prime example of my grandmother. And it was an old lady, like black and white card with like a little painting on, you know, one of those silly Hallmark cards. And she's jackhammering in the street. And I'm like, that's my grandmother for sure.
That's great.
Anyway, so she's like, she's busy. So I'm just like, what are ghosts doing? Anyways, so then she said that my grandfather is also here. She asked me if I had like felt him or seen him. And I was like, you know, not really, not that I can like recall. Like, I don't feel like, I feel like most of what the activity is, this feels like maybe my grandmother and possibly my great grandmother. And she's like, well, he's also here. And she's like, that makes a lot of sense because he's very quiet, but he wants to be heard. And he really wants to just be heard and be acknowledged. And I'm just like, oh gosh. You know, kind of makes sense. My grandfather, I mean, he had his moments. He was bipolar, so he had moments of like manicness where he was very happy and very joyous, and then he had moments where he was like more reserved and he would like stay downstairs for and be quiet. So, you know, and I feel that when for a few years before he had passed away, like he had kind of just like receded into this like shell of himself. Like he was barely spoke and just became very small. Anyway, So I was like, oh, okay, I gotta listen more for my grandfather. And I believe her for sure, because I definitely feel like he's been trying to speak to me. These weird, like, so I've been playing, you know, like I set up my speaker or whatever, and I've been playing these playlists, and I just like hit the radio station, you know, and I'm playing like, you know, old school hip hop and like weird stuff that kind of like gets me in the groove to like clean my house, because it's a lot of like organizing and kind of bullshit like that. And these like random French songs from my childhood that he used to play for me will like start playing, just like one random one. And I thought, you know, I've kind of been like, oh, that's weird. But I'm like so like in the groove of what I'm doing that I didn't really pay attention. And so when she said that, I was like, oh yeah, he's totally been talking to me. That was really weird.
Wow.
So I mean, these songs, they're old songs, you know. Anyway, so then while we're talking,
it wouldn't be unheard of for you to have an old French song on a playlist. So you know, I want to point that out as well. But like you said, this is the radio, right?
Well, it's like, yeah, like I'll pick a song, like I'll pick a song, like that I like, and I'll hit like play radio off of that song. So it would seem kind of strange for this type of music to be playing after something that I'm not listening to French songs, you know. Yeah. I'm generally listening to some kind of, I think for the most part, I think there was one time I was playing like Rage Against the Machine radio. That wasn't that fun. And that was the moment that I noticed the most, because I feel like he was kind of like, why are you like, you know, like raging out right now or something. Like it was, yeah, that was the one that really like stuck out in my head. And it was like this song that was like in French, it's like little girl, you know, or like not little girl, but like, yeah, kind of like little one, like everything's going to be okay.
Wow.
And so it was interesting, because I really, you know, I was aggravated and I was struggling with all of the shit that I was having to deal with this house. So I felt like he was really trying to kind of calm me down, you know.
Wow.
And it did work. Anyway, so yeah, it was super strange.
I was going to say, you know, sometimes we hear those stories about, you know, a spirit or something doing something to let someone know that they're there. Mm-hmm. They would have to do it in terms to where you would realize that something out of the ordinary is happening. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah, it had to be that stark contrast as
right.
well.
For, yeah.
To be heard. Yeah. Yeah. It was wild.
So do you speak French also? You speak French?
I do speak French. Not very well, but
that's
yeah,
weird.
I do speak a little bit of French. Yeah.
That makes it even more interesting, I think, of a story, because you can understand the language. It's not like me. It's not like me hearing some random French song.
Like you hear the song, but you don't know what they're, what like, they're trying to tell you. Right?
Yeah, grandpa's trying to talk to me. I can't speak French, you know?
Yeah. No. And you're just hearing an Ivory soap commercial or something. Right. But,
yeah. My grandfather, he taught me. He's the one who taught me French.
Ah.
It's very very limited amounts that I know, but
Was it beyond just the dirty words?
Oh my goodness, he didn't. I mean, he actually didn't teach me any dirty words. No.
Wow.
I had to learn those when I was actually visiting his like hometown and like hanging out with some of his younger, his like nephews and stuff. I was like, oh okay. Thank you for that knowledge. But my grandfather, he's not from California. He's from French. A French-speaking area. He's from Quebec.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
So, yeah, interesting. And I'll actually get to that in just a minute.
Cool.
So, just a little blip of it.
Okay.
So, anyway, my aunt, you know, she tells me this, and that's what I thought, and the first thing that came out of my mouth when I told her that when she mentioned that he wanted to be heard. And so, right after that, I look behind her. And the gate to the backyard is hanging wide open. And this is really, really strange because, as we just discussed, I have two fairly large dogs and that back gate needs to stay closed.
Right.
And it's also broken. So I have it blocked on the street side by a wooden plank that is held in place by a large recycling bin. And on the inside of the gate, I have placed a decent sized table. And this is like a fold down table. So it's kind of like, It's rectangular. It's like taller. There's no like tabletop to it because the tabletop hasn't been lifted up and folded out.
Okay.
But it's not very light. Like it's something that if my son was trying to like pull, he would probably tip it over and it would make a loud crash and he would go heavy or something, you know? Yeah. And if my dogs were to move it, it would be very loud. And once again, it probably would tip over. And I would hear that. And 30 minutes before we had all come outside to sit down, I had actually ushered my dogs inside, because they were barking at that gate and I don't like them barking at the gate because once again, it's broken and I just don't like them barking in general. So I had ushered them inside and the gate was most definitely closed and nobody was outside. No, nobody else was here. It was just, I mean, my son was here, but he was, in the downstairs bedroom watching a, TV show. And like I said, if he had come out to move it, like we all would have noticed that happen. And if you try and open the door, one of the panels will fall down. Now the panel wasn't falling down; it was just sitting against the gate, as if I had opened it to like take my trash cans out or something. And the plank, it's about 2.5 feet tall, so it can be easily stepped over by most adults. Anyways, it was just really strange. So my dogs hadn't barked. Nothing had happened. My son was inside. And the look on my mother's face. And I'm like asking them, like, did you guys come through this gate? Was it open when we came out here? Like, I'm asking them all these questions. Her eyes were so wide. And she was just like, oh, my gosh. She's like, looked so shocked. Because, you know, obviously when I told her the day before, she was super skeptical. Right. And so it felt kind of good that she finally believed me that something really strange was going on here. You know, we joked about that. One of them had like turned from what they were doing or something, you know, when they came home.
Yeah. Oh, obviously it was grandma because, you know, she's the one that's being busy out there. So
exactly.
Yeah. You would think that she would close the gate, but I guess, you know.
I mean, yeah. Who knows? So that was pretty funny. So then my aunt, she asks me if she can, oh, I'm getting eaten again. She asks me if she can go into the back bedroom, and do a little meditation back there. My mom and her go back there. My aunt, she has like a, you know, kind of a history of having like premonitions and intuition type things. So to speak. So she went back there and she meditated. I was hanging laundry at this point because I had done a load. I didn't realize they were coming over. Like, it kind of been last minute. So I was like kind of hoping that like they wouldn't finish the meditation before I got back there. So I'm like quickly hanging up the laundry. Anyway, so I finished and I go back there. My mom's not back there. She's looking for a candle. And my aunt is, she's like pacing around the room, opening the closet doors, like checking areas, and she's like muttering to herself and like kind of calling us, oh, it's better, oh it's better, it's healed, oh. And it's like kind of, it's kind of crazy, like I walked in kind of like, oh gosh. And like you have to walk down this like long hallway to get back there. I mean, there's five closet doors, they're these really like thin strange kind of like just little closet shelves that have doors on them. So you have to walk all, past all that to get to the back bedroom. So I can hear her as I'm walking down the hallway, and I'm like, oh God, what am I getting myself into? And so I come in, I sit down, and she's like, oh, it's healed. Oh, it's better. Oh, thank God it's better. Oh, yes, it's so good. Oh, yes. And, so my mom comes in. She can't find a candle, so I go and grab a candle right away because I don't know what's going on. I'm just a little freaked out, but, like, I'm going to do it. So I grab a candle. I bring it in. My mom's lighting the candle, and thunder shakes our house.
Wow.
I live in San Diego, and it's not, yeah, like, this is the middle of the afternoon. I mean, it's probably like 2 p.m.
Yeah.
Thunder is not a very regular occurrence, and especially not at 2 p.m. It wasn't raining outside. It was kind of gray.
Yeah.
But wow. It was weird. Wow. And I look at both of them. Neither of them really like moved or like made any reaction over the, yeah. I mean, it's the house. Like,
wow. Holy oh shit.
Oh, okay. Wow. So that was spooky. So then my aunt kind of, she's like, this is really heavy. And she's like, do you want to hear what has come to me? And I'm like, oh God. Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you this real quick.
I'm sitting here with this candle and just thunder just right. Shook. Like, yeah, of course I want to hear it. Like, tell me what is going on.
Just to give people a little bit of a synopsis here, had she ever opened up to you like this before? And like, have you had these experiences like this in the house with her before? Or
never.
is this the first time that she's really like opening up as far as what she knows and
her, yeah.
Wow.
You know, we've had some conversations about just life in general, and right. You know, I've heard her talk, but mostly with my other aunts, and then I'm kind of like, oh, I want to hear what's going on. You know, she talks about, she has like tarot cards and angel decks, and like, I don't know about tarot cards, but she's into angel decks, and mm-hmm. and she has these interesting stories about, you know, people talking to like their dead sons and stuff like that. We have talked about like my parents' separation and divorce, mm-hmm. or they were domestic partners or whatever, so their separation. So we've talked about, you know, some things like that, and having like, you know, soul conversations with somebody that you can never heal with, and mm-hmm. you know, things like that. But
yeah.
Different subject matter. Yeah. Nothing as strange as this, and I've never seen her act like that either.
Right.
You know, she's different, and she's all my family, we're all kind of strange. Right.
So is mine.
That's probably one of the reasons that we're friends.
But it was.
That's this says more about Adam than it does us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was very passionate. So I'm just like, please tell me. So where was I? Okay, so how does she begin? She begins to tell me about how one day when I was young, maybe 4 years old or so, that she took my mother into the back room and told her not to bring her foster son here. This was my mother's good friend's teenage son. Mm-hmm. Her friend had passed away, and she was, excuse me, and she was planning to move him into my grandparents' home. And so my aunt warned her that he was going to do something terrible to me. My mother brushed off her warning and took him in anyway. And my aunt's premonition was correct, and he actually sexually assaulted me in that back bedroom when I was 5 years old.
Oh.
And I had no idea that my aunt had warned her. And it was something like she said, you know, that it was like it was like the middle of the work day, and she just got this feeling, and she left work, and she's a paralegal. So it's not like, I don't know. Anyway, so she left work, and she just came home or came to, you know, the her grandparents' home and found my mother and brought her in that back room and told her that. Just like in the middle of the day, randomly, just like, I need to tell her this and I need to tell her right now. It was pretty strange.
Wow.
So, yeah, I had no idea that this had been, that this had happened. So, and I don't hold anything against my mother at all. My mom is a kind-hearted person and she always sees the best in others to sure. a fault. I mean, it is her strength and her weakness.
Right.
But it is something that I absolutely love about her and would not change.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother was a drug addict and had allowed terrible, terrible things to happen to him. So it was definitely, you know, a situation of hurting others. So then my aunt begins to tell me that, and it was really strange because when we first sat down, my aunt goes, okay, so he's up there. And then she had like placed my grandfather's photo, like up at the top of the window in the bedroom. It was interesting. So then my aunt tells me that my grandfather went to the seminary at 15 years old, that he had no choice, that in Quebec at that time, when boys were of a certain age, they would send them to the seminary. And there, one of the Catholic brothers did terrible sexual things to him.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. My grandfather ran away from the seminary. He just got on his motorcycle and just left. And left Canada and came to California. And before he left, he saw the next victim of this brother and it haunted him. So he came to the U.S., he joined the army, he met my grandmother, he fell in love, you know, and then he told my grandmother about this, but he never spoke of it to anybody else.
Right.
And my grandmother told my aunt about his experience after his death, and my grandfather had terrible demons. He, like I said before, he was bipolar. He had psychosis, and he never healed from his experience at the seminary or during the Korean War. I have some, I want to find them. This is interesting, but remember I was talking about those tiny tapes and I needed like a tape recorder for those tiny tapes.
Yeah.
It's because I have these interviews of my grandfather talking about his experience at the Korean War or during the Korean War. And they're pretty horrific stories. So we honestly, like growing up, you know, I didn't know much and my mom kind of shares a similar sentiment that they didn't know about like the depth of his psychological problems until after he had like passed away, because my grandmother was very, very strong and mm-hmm. jackhammer grandmother and organized and that life, you know, she kept life going as usual, despite whatever he was going through. If he was going through a high or a low, it didn't matter. She kept things like in sync and in flow.
Yeah.
So
men of that generation and before wouldn't talk. I mean, you just didn't talk about things like that. They kept it bottled in. They kept emotion bottled in. They kept that thing because it was shameful to them,
know,
and it was all these things. And even just being an emotional man was probably, you know, to a degree shameful at that point in time. So
very emotional. I mean, he was a highly kind and loving and caring person.
Yeah.
And he had a big heart.
And you couldn't show your weakness too. I think that was the other thing is that people looked at it not as a strength but a weakness if you show that you're vulnerable. And that's heavy stuff.
Yeah, and I can't even imagine because from my experience, I got court ordered. I was 5 years old, so we went through the penal system and everything, and it was I had court ordered therapy for many years, and you know, I've done a lot of work throughout my life on this, and I just can't even imagine where he would be at in his life not having done any of this work or having spoken to anyone about it. I mean, yeah, like it's something that I can talk about now, and even though there are some weird things, like for example in this house, if you go down in the laundry room, there's like people's heights are marked on there and his name is there still right now. And when I left the house, I had no idea. And my aunt or somebody, Moonshine, or my sister had noticed that there was these markings, you know, and they were like, oh, like, look at everybody. You know, it was like the history. So I, you know, of course I went down there and I looked and I saw his name and it just like made my heart stop.
Wow.
Right.
And so there's some kind of, you know, things that sometimes still jar me, but for the most part, I feel very, you know, I've moved past of a lot of the demons that haunted me with that, and I definitely feel like I've spent a lot of my life healing, and I feel like I've come like a very long way, and so anyways.
Yeah, she's a very strong and capable person.
I can see that. And that is, considering now that I know a little bit of your story, I mean, that is really,
yeah,
you know, it's that's a testimony to your strength and the ability to face something that you may not want to necessarily face. And that's a powerful story. Your own story is powerful, is what I mean.
Thank you. Yeah, and, you know, I had chosen that back bedroom, actually, and I didn't mention this before because it didn't really feel relevant, you know, all the history of this back room, the room that I was born in and the room that I was, you know, assaulted in. And so I had kind of picked that back bedroom as well, like beyond, you know, the obvious reasons, to be my bedroom, that I was going to like kind of reclaim it as my own. Mm-hmm. And I had moved my grandfather's old chair that still like smells so strongly of him into this back bedroom. And my aunt was, you know, she sat in the chair and she was like, he's protecting you.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense to me, yeah, given our shared experiences. And my aunt's explanation. And like, I kind of felt his presence in that room a little bit, but I didn't like once she said it, like it clicked, and it was like, okay, that's probably that warmth, because like I had gone back there and I felt very comfortable. Like even the weird things were happening, like I just felt so safe and enveloped in that room. And so I was like, okay, I get it. Like I feel like he's like standing guard in here. You know?
Wow.
Anyway, so it all kind of like tied together, and she was like, she's like, it's so good because I feel it all in here, and it's healed. The hurt, it's protecting the hurt.
Wow.
And I feel that. So that felt really powerful to me.
Oh man, that is. Wow.
Yeah, it was intense.
You gave me some chills there. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so, I unfortunately, you know, it's like I had a relationship with my one set of my grandparents, but my mother's father, you know, was, I had the ability to get to know him as a grown man, and I'm so thankful for that, because You the more you talk to people from generations past and you get their story and you can connect with them on a one-on-one level, so many people don't get that ability. And, you know, speaking as a father too, you want to protect your kids. You know, I don't have grandkids yet, but I would just only assume that it's the same feeling, that you want to protect your own. Mm-hmm. And when you don't have that ability and something's happened, you know, you just, you want to, like you said, you reclaiming your room. Well, he's reclaiming a part of himself also.
Yeah.
You know, that's heavy. And man,
I do feel like it was a, you know, yes, it was a big deal, but like, I feel like it was even harder for them because it had happened in their own home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And under,
of you know, course,
watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, wow. It was, man.
Yeah.
And yeah, I am incredibly grateful to have had this deep relationship with my grandparents, because I don't know my dad's grandparents.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to meet them. They both passed away. I didn't meet my dad until I was an adult. So, I do feel very, very blessed that I got such a deep connection with my mother's parents. So
that's awesome.
Oh yeah.
Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YEO. -weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, it's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that. And if you decide to get one of their shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors.
At this point, after did all of that and explained everything, I'm like completely, I mean, just even just telling the story to you guys, I'm like pretty like, oh my gosh, that was so heavy.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah, well, it is heavy.
I mean, overwhelmed and exhausted. Like, I was just done. Yeah. I was done.
Understandably.
Yeah. So I'm living here. So I've been trying to brush a lot of this weirdness off. Right. And this was just way more than I had been prepared for. So I go to sleep that night. And I wake up at 2:50 in the morning, and one of my dogs breaks through the barriers that I have set up, I have dog gates set up to keep them. And he breaks through the barrier and he comes to lay at my feet, and I'm struggling not to be spooked out. And I'm trying, and like, kind of like trying not to move, but also like kind of like trying to check my surroundings. So, yeah. And my son begins to talk in his sleep. And I'm just like, okay, this is too much for me. And I laid there and I tried to fall back asleep, and it took me until daybreak to fall back asleep. Oh, it was so bad. But then, you know, the next night was fine and it was okay. So then the other day I go to put my son in the room to take a nap. And he's calling out for me. He doesn't want to rest. He doesn't want to take a nap. And I'm like, okay, well, and he's usually really good about taking a nap. Like, I still nurse him. So I'll like nurse him, and then he doesn't usually fall asleep. So I'll lay him down and I'll tell him, you know, close your eyes. It's time to go to sleep. And he usually immediately he'll close his eyes and he'll pull up a blanket and he'll like not go to sleep, but he'll like rest until he falls asleep. But that day he just didn't want to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And, so he's like calling for me. I'm sitting in the living room or in the kitchen. Excuse me. And he's calling for me. Mom, you know, that little baby calling voice. Also, I hate when he does that, but
I'm just getting the image of that, of the, you know, from Family Guy, Stewie, just mom, you know,
exactly. So, and suddenly it just stops. So he's yelling out mom and he just stops. And I hear him, and he starts talking like in a normal voice, like as if I was in there next to him. And he's going, apple juice, apple juice, apple juice. And then he goes, thank you. And I'm like holding my breath, and my sister's sitting next to me and she's staring at me wide-eyed, and we're like, oh my God. And she's like, yeah. And then he goes, yeah. Moonshine, come.
I got goosebumps. I don't know about you, Bear.
Yeah, that's crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
That's wow, intense. Wow. Yeah.
Damn.
So, and he doesn't sound, you know, he doesn't sound upset. He sounds happy. He sounds like he's talking to someone, and there's somebody he wants to be talking to. You know, he thanked them. And I don't even know.
Wow.
And so I get up, I go in the room, and I'm like, hey, baby, you know, like, what's going on? And he's like, hi. And I go, are you talking to someone? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, who are you talking to? Oh, my heart is like pounding right now. Oh, God.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
And he goes, like somebody was whispering to him.
Oh my Lord.
And I was like, baby, who are you talking to? And he goes, pss, 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 pss. So I just scoop him up and I bring him into the
room. Wow. Oh my God.
Take a nap.
Whoa.
So I let him watch like TV. I'm just like I'm freaking out. I go into, and I come back in, we all hang out for a little bit, and then he's like acting really tired. He's laying on the floor and he's like, "Mom, nap." So I'm like, okay. So I take him back into the room. I lay him down. I'm like, "Good night, baby. Like, you know, have a nice rest. Close your eyes, go to sleep." And he like closes his eyes. And so I leave the room. Me and my sister come outside and we sit down, and she's like, "I just saw a lady walk past the hallway in a white dress." And I was like, "Excuse me, what?" And she was like, "Yeah, she," and I was like, "Are you serious?" And she's like, "Yeah, she just like walked really quickly. I just saw her just walk through." And so I was like, in my head, I'm like, "That's gotta be my great grandmother. That has to be my great grandmother." Going to check on the baby because he just went down for his nap. But I got spooked out because it had already been a spooky afternoon. And so I got up and I went over there, and I thought I heard him say something. And so I just went in and I was like, "Yes, baby." And I like went into the room and he's already off the bed and like getting up, like, I don't even know. So he didn't take a nap that day. He did not take a nap that day. But I do. I believe it was my great grandmother, and she loved me. I mean, she helped my mother birth me, and she just absolutely adored me. We have lots of pictures, and she even wrote me like letters where she talks about how. And so I just feel like she's just loving up on my son, and he doesn't seem to have any problem with her whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I feel like she's watching over him, which is a good feeling. But at the same time, like, I'm also still a little spooked out, and I'm like, "Can you just like calm down just a little bit?"
Yeah.
But nothing's happened since then. My son hasn't really like spoken much in his sleep or like done any like weird things like that. Thank God, because we're sick, and I'm just like, I can't handle more. And so maybe they know that I'm kind of like, I've hit my limit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang, so girl.
Since I spoke to you guys just last
week. Jeez, man. I mean, whatever.
She doesn't want to talk about that.
Who's that
my
again?
My sister doesn't want to talk. She doesn't
want to talk. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's understandable.
Which is totally understandable. And I'm like, that's fine. And she was just like I started to mention it to my mom, and she was like, "Why gotta mention that? Like, gosh."
Wow.
She's spooked about it. And she's like, "I can't believe you can live there." She's like, "I don't know how you do it."
But. Yeah, but you know what? Like, also. Yeah.
Sorry, how old is your sister?
She's 16.
Okay.
Yeah.
No crap. I wouldn't want to talk about that either. That is crazy. And you know, but the thing is that it's one. I was just thinking about this while you were talking. Is like, thank God you have the ability to take that home over and keep it in your family like that, because that's special. I mean, can you imagine giving that home over to someone else?
So long.
I mean, are you there?
No. Yeah. And I had a weird, you know, I had this feeling of dread when I first moved in here. Like, 'cause, you know, my grandmother purchased this home, and she had most of the kids here, or, you know, they all grew up here, but, it's just, you know, so when I moved in, like, I was like, "Oh God, I'm going to live and die in this home now." You know, it's literally like born and die here. And I, you know, I've been nomadic, as you know,
right.
Adam, you know about me.
Yeah.
And I don't really like to stay in one spot. So I did have a couple very real panic attacks about this being like the end of the road for me.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I want to like live here forever, but I cannot imagine giving this home to somebody else.
Sure.
You know, permanently.
Right.
Maybe I do want to come back here and, you know, pass away with my ancestors. I mean, I don't know if I can creepy shit.
Right. Right. Right.
At the same time, I kind of like it. So.
Yeah. No, that is, man, that you just took everything up a notch. Like your first round of stories, now having this as the follow up is like, what? Well, it's just
crazy. And all of it in the span of literally the span of a week.
Like a week.
That's intense, man. Wow.
Yeah, I told Barry about how later after we spoke, I got a text from you with pictures of the curtains being open and also from the ceiling writing, which is so bizarre.
Oh, the ceiling, yeah.
And then just yesterday in all caps, so much shit has happened since we talked.
I was just feeling, because I wanted to call in. You told me to call in, and yeah. So I was going to call in to the hotline or whatever. And it just it felt like things just kept happening. And so now it's been a couple of days where nothing's happened. So it kind of felt like kind of good to give a little recap, but it was like, okay, this happened. And then now this happened. And I was like, I just need to hear his reaction, man. This is great stuff. But yeah,
it made me laugh so hard because I could just see your face and just hear you just,
yeah. And, during all this, talking to my family, I actually did realize that I have two other little stories for you guys.
Cool.
You guys want to hear them.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing to do with this house, really, but just in my life in general.
Cool.
So the first one, we'll do the one that happened the most recent first. So one time when I was in college, I was with a few of my other friends at one of our dorm mates' home for the weekend. So all of us were hanging out and we were watching Deep Blue Sea. I remember the movie. Watching Deep Blue Sea in the living room. And all of us crashed in the room. So we go in there and all of her CDs, which had been on the top of the shelf, were scattered across the room. Some of them were on her bed, over near her closet. They were kind of far away from where the shelf was. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like they had just fallen off. It looked like somebody had smacked them.
Right.
So that was kind of interesting. And then she told us about, she kind of was like, oh yeah, she kind of brushed it off a little bit. I mean, she looked a little freaked out, but she was also like, that's just the ghost that was here. Right. And she tells us about how she was sleeping one time and she heard footsteps cross some papers across her floor, like some of her school papers that had been scattered across her floor. And then she felt the feeling of the bed indenting as if somebody was mm-hmm. Sitting on it. And I think she had said she didn't want to wake up or something like that. And then her best friend, who was my roommate at the time, told us of when she had slept in her mother's room in that same apartment and had seen the face of a young girl, a little redhead, in the mother's room, and that her and her boyfriend at the time ran out and they were all freaked out about it. So it was, needless to say, it was really hard to sleep that night in the house, despite the fact, there was, I think, three girls or so, I think maybe four of us. It was pretty weird.
Wow.
Also, that movie is super scary. Yeah. I'm super scared of huge bodies of water. Anyway, but okay, so that was the first story. Just little one that was easy for me to get. So that was kind of weird. So then when I told my other mom about everything that was going on in this house, she remembered a couple things. And I had forgotten kind of about this, but we grew up in this old house that was a farmhouse. And it had additions built onto it and stuff like that. But it was one of the oldest in that neighborhood. Or I think it was the oldest in that neighborhood. It was the house that had the plot of farm around it. Mm-hmm. So we had a pretty sizable backyard. And it was I always kind of felt a little spooked out in the backyard, especially near my window. But my room was always freezing, super, super cold all the time. Even in the dead of summer, I would come out. My hands were always freezing. I was just constantly cold. I would wear a sweater in the middle of July in San Diego when it's 90 degrees outside.
Yeah.
Down with that. I mean, honestly, if I was going to live in a room, it'd be the haunted cold room.
Right. It was nice. It was super nice, especially when it was so, so, so hot. I could hang out in my room and I wouldn't sweat. Yeah. But it was weird. And I remember one time my mom even came in and she took my temperature. I don't remember why she took my temperature, but she took my temperature and it was so low. And she looks at me and she goes, well, I guess you're dead. It was ridiculously low. I was freezing. And then my closet door in that bedroom would randomly get stuck, locked. And it was like, I could turn the handle, but it wouldn't unlock the door. It was, but it had no lock on it either. And it was one of those like old keyhole,
yeah,
like locks, like, yep, the, you know, the very like standard looking, like, yeah, when you think of like a keyhole, like that's what you see. Mm-hmm. The little triangle with the circle on top. So it was, yeah, that was, it was weird. And then one time we took the carpet out of my brother's room and we found little footprints in pink paint, like little baby footsteps on the wooden floor leading out of this tiny creepy closet that was weird shaped because of, you know, this, it was under the stairs. It was like one of those under the stairs.
Right, floor. Right.
But yeah, that was strange. And my brother, he was kind of a creepy little kid.
Wow.
he would sleepwalk. Like one time we found him and he was peeing on the stairs right outside his bedroom. He thought that it was like, you know, the bathroom. So he would do kind of like weird things. And he would mention like seeing things or like things that we didn't see there or like hearing. I don't know. He was just kind of a little bit creepy, but I feel like the bedroom added to this, like whatever was going on in there. Mm. Yeah. So those are my two little short blips of weirdness that happened.
Wow.
And that, like, I've really not had very much experience with like ghosts. And honestly, before moving in here, like, there was a big part of me that was honestly really skeptical that ghosts even existed.
Yeah.
Like, right.
Kind of like, I mean, I didn't see the lady, but I've been, you know, feeling and experiencing the other weird things that I've been having.
Right. But that just adds to the credibility of what you're experiencing too. Because, yeah, if, you know, if you're not looking for something and it's still trying to reach out.
Exactly. Yeah. And I honestly feel like the first couple of weeks I was here, like, I feel like a lot of stuff happened, but I just had no idea because my house was in such disarray. I just wasn't. And it wasn't until I got a little organized that I started noticing, okay, wait a second.
And that's like, that's probably part of the reason why they've been so active, too, is because, mm-hmm, there's transition happening. Yeah, there's transition happening. There's changes to the houses. It's conjuring up a bunch of, you know, feelings and emotions. And
for real.
Golly, it's just, you're living in. What's cool about this from our point of view is that we're documenting this thing in kind of in real, mm-hmm, time. That's
for real.
That's pretty. Yeah. That's a pretty cool thing to have, you know. Wow, so cool, and so crazy and weird.
Weird, like.
Yes. I'm looking forward to the weekly updates. So.
Yeah. Oh gosh, I really hope there is a weekly update. Maybe like a quarterly update.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I appreciate them being here, and I wouldn't want it to be any other spirits. But I do like living in peace and solitude for stretches of time.
For sure. So. Yeah, for sure.
And I already have an opportunity with like the actual real, you know, in the flesh family coming by way more often than they ever did before. So, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So cool. Fun. Well, thanks for coming back and sharing that with us. It's
thank you for having me.
Yeah. What a trip. Wow.
Super fun.
Exciting because, you know, like Barry said, it's just, you know, in real time, and it's, you know, it's literally been 1 week. We usually, you know, we record these in advance so that we can edit them and get them out and everything, but, you know, we haven't had the opportunity to have it where it's just like bam bam, and, you know, we can load it up and, you know, and put it out. Yeah, so this will be out. And
I am planning. I will tell you this. I am planning on putting up an ofrenda, which is like a little. I'm planning on making a rather sizable one because it's never been done in this home. But as you know, my grandmother passed the night of Halloween, mm-hmm, and morning after, should I say. But I'm going to make, it's an altar that they make in Latin culture, Mexican culture. And it's for the dead, mm-hmm, and I don't know if you've seen the movie Coco. It's a Disney movie, but
I love it. I love that movie. I do.
Yeah, it's basically it's that. So you know, the dead can come and visit you on the day.
I love that idea. By the way, I love that idea, and you know, it's like, and when I'm listening to, again, to your first episode, what you're talking about, that kind of came, I was like, what was the name of that movie? But it is, it's a, like a tale from that movie. It is really a cool thing. And anybody that hasn't watched it should watch it, because it is really interesting, and it's fun, and it's a way for a kid to look at death and, maybe have a little different twist as to what you think the reality of death might be like, you know, or living without your loved ones.
I think it's important to have a, you know, a relationship with death that's a positive one.
Yes.
Yeah. It's I mean, I've experienced quite a lot of death in this house, like coming to terms with all of
right
that more, but you know,
right, it's a part of life,
kind of a creepy, freaky thing.
Yeah, you're just you're living.
But I do, yeah, I found it very degree.
Yeah, so you're living a more hands-on experience version of what most people get.
Sure.
Which is why I think people are really going to love this, is because they're going to be able to look into something and go, oh my gosh, this is happening to her. You know, nobody, or a lot of people, I know for myself, I've never experienced anything like that, but you know, people that listen to these stories, you know, it's a way for them to connect. It. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So I'll have to send you a photo of my friend with all my family members on there.
Please do.
And we'll see. I mean, so we'll have a family party in the living room.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. You probably knew that already because you're listening or downloaded to the episode off of your iTunes or your Spotify or whatever place you get your podcast from. We want to thank you for listening. We also want to remind you to like us, follow us, subscribe to us, make sure that you get your new podcast episode every week. We'd also like to ask you to rate and review so that we can grow our audience, we can have more friends, we can have more stories. So thanks for listening to What's Your Weird Story.
Well, that's never happened. Never happened. I'm so glad that the planets have aligned for this to happen. So crazy. It's so crazy.
It started out with I might have a Halloween kind of a story to tell. Mm-hmm. And by the way, there's, you know, we've taken out, there's, Ori has some great Halloween stuff that we're saving for next week's Halloween special.
Yeah.
So stick around for that. Yeah. But it started off with this little thing, and then all of a sudden it's this whole other thing, and it's happening as, you know, literally as we were speaking and developing it within the, you know, and man.
I was wondering,
it's just,
you wonder if Grandma wasn't angry that we were talking. We sort of were talking about that after the first time we talked to her, you know, because she'd.
Yeah.
But it was like, man, it again, to witness something like that in your home. Mm-hmm. And you don't have the control over the thing that's making that happen. It's out of your hands. What are you going to do? You got to give up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You got to give up.
Well, Ori is concerned, I guess, about it. I mean, it's, you know, it's startling, but she definitely is not scared about it.
Right.
You know, I mean, I talked to her again off the air in between time, and also in the meantime since we spoke, Moonshine, one of her dogs there that you actually heard on the episode, Moonshine has passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that.
We're real sorry, and we send our condolences and our love and hugs and all that stuff. Don't worry in her with her for her loss, because he was such a good boy and her little boy's best friend. So everything there, it's not vicious. There's not really a darkness that's attacking her or anything like that. It's just a weird it's just kind of weird to realize, you know, I guess that she's got roommates.
Yeah, well, I mean, but again, you know, a lot of heavy stuff has gone down there. There's been a lot of emotion.
Yeah.
I can see how it can collect like that.
Yeah.
And yeah. And she knows she's loved, and she yeah. and the entities that are there that are, you know, participating in her life. That's a pretty kind way to put it.
Yeah.
It's as good as it's going to get when it comes to a haunting. I'd rather be haunted by my grandfather or grandmother than some strangers.
Sure.
But, yeah.
Unless wow. that stranger was going to tell me where they had buried treasure. True. Other than that.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Picked a lot of, but I guess you yeah. can't pick your... It's like family. You can't pick your ghost.
That's true. Wow, that's true. Yeah. Ori... She's a strong girl, and she has the ability to, you know, raise her family in where she grew up, in the home that she grew up in, and that's special. I think that's a great thing. And, you know, it comes with a couple of extra folks, and that's, yeah. hey, that's cool, man. That's cool. But it is. It's crazy, and it was if I were there, if we went and took a little, you know, tour of the house, I would probably be freaked out. But
oh yeah, for sure. I'm you know, it would be I think that you would probably, I don't know, I think we would probably at least pick up on something on a very
yeah
gut level, you
right,
know,
right, that grandma energy,
so,
you know.
Yeah so yeah. So
no, knows, I man, but I've said it before, you know, when my grandmother passed, I had an episode, I guess you could say, but it was just a massive amount of energy. Grandma's, you know, produced that. I believe that. Warm energy. Good warm energy. And so she's in good hands. She's in good hands.
Yeah man, I don't even know where to go. But we are taking a break from the spooky and getting into the fun stuff for Halloween for next week. It's going to be a fun episode. We have Ori, we've got Brandon, and we've got our good buddy Emotron back.
It's crazy.
We got the lead.
It's a crazy one. It's crazy.
We got the members of the Cutthroat Sideshow, Freak Show. Oh man,
get
those
ready.
Guys, that was a fun conversation we had. So yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun, and it's gonna be a lot of like memories and a lot of it's a big fun and kind of wandering episode, but you know, those are some of our favorites. So tune in next week for the Halloween special, and have a good week in between. And remember, if grandma starts opening your curtains and helping you with the rearrangement of the house, give us a call, come on the show and tell us all about it. Cause you know, it's all about hearing your stories and talking and connecting with you guys. And we love it. And it's the best part of our week. And we hope it's one of the highlights of yours. So anyway, join us again next time here on the What You Weird Story podcast. Be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time. Be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.